Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
Good afternoon. This is News for the Heart. And today we are talking with Tom Campbell. I always love having Tom on the show. We always have fun, and we look at, you know, Tom brings everything back to its simplest form, which is if you want to grow up, we change everything over to love instead of fear. And that's simple, may not be so easy, but it definitely is the thing that I love about Tom and about our work together. And today I thought we would look at letting go. We may look at some other stuff, but letting go, I think a lot of people have issues with letting go because we don't see choices. So welcome to the show, Tom. We've been having some Skype issues, and so hopefully this won't have too many problems, but something's going on with the last upgrade that they did that isn't working so well. So let's hope everything goes well.
Yeah, let's hope so. I appreciate you inviting me to talk with you like this every month, Lori, because it gives me a chance to talk about what's most meaningful to most people, which is, you know, how to be happy, how to enjoy their life, you know, how to grow up, how to reduce the fear and increase the love. And it is a simple thing to think about. It's a simple idea, but it's not so simple all the time to do.
It's not easy to do. Simple concept, not easy. Like to think it's easy, just isn't.
Well, it's difficult to implement for very much the reason that you mentioned, is that most people are making choices because of their fear, because of their ego, because of their beliefs, and as you call this, because of their story. Yeah. They're trapped in their own story, and they can't see any other story. These are the choices that you say. They just can't see themselves in any other story but that story, because that's the story that resonates that fear, that ego, and those beliefs. And in order to see a different story, in order to let that one go and start making different choices, that you have to let go of that fear and that ego and those beliefs. And that's where the rub is. That's hard to do. Our ego's job is to make sure that that fear stays out of sight. It tries to either justify it away or cover it over with something else. And there's all sorts of ways that you can try to eliminate being able to see and know your fear. You can overdo it, which is sort of the bully, right? The bully has a fear that nobody will like him, and he overdoes it by being over assertive. Right. Well, he's not going to, you know, he's going to get right out there and get in people's faces, you know, whether they like him or not. And the opposite way of dealing with that fear is to be the shrinking violet, is to kind of stay to yourself and stay away from people, not be too social, but it's the same fear. And those are just different strategies of dealing with a very similar fear. And that's a fear of being unworthy, a fear of not being good enough. You know, it's basic insecurity. So we have lots and lots of strategies to deal with our fears. And yeah, it's that strategy that is our story.
Right.
You see, that's the reason that we do things. That's what's motivating our choices, is that strategy to deal with our fear. So as long as we have that fear, we cling to that strategy, because otherwise we'd have to face that fear. Oh, I am inadequate, or, you know, I'm not very likable, and people wouldn't like me, and I won't, there's another strategy is, I can't lose if I don't play.
Right.
So if I think people won't like me, and then I'm real obnoxious, well, I don't have to admit that they don't like me because I'm unlikable. I don't have to admit that I'm not likable. I can say, well, they don't like me just because I'm obnoxious, you see. So by being obnoxious, I prevent me from having to deal with not being likable. It's just another way of dealing with a fear. So we have all of these strategies to deal with the fear, and our ego helps us do that, and our beliefs help us do that. And this is what informs most of our choices. So to let go of our story means we have to really let go of our fear. And letting go of our fear is a really hard thing because that fear scares us. We don't want to admit that we're unlovable, inadequate, insecure, etc. We just don't want to admit that. That would sort of end us, you know, if we thought that if we would admitted to ourselves that we are not the person we pretend to be. We're not the person we act.
Yeah.
So that's why we start with things like, well, some of the first things you can do is get authentic. Get authentic. And when you're authentic, then you try to find that real person inside of you that is just the way it is. Another strategy we use is often said in terms of you have to love yourself before you can love anybody else. Well, what that really means is not that you have to be a narcissist. That's not what it's getting at. It's that you have to not be negative about yourself. Well, you see, that gets right back to that fear. If you're negative about yourself because you feel inadequate, insecure, unlovable, etc., you're not doing it right. You know, you're not quite up to snuff, so you have this ego and fear. You have the fear, and then you have the ego and the beliefs to make that fear seem like it doesn't exist. It's a strategy of dealing with it. So that's why it's so difficult, because fundamentally it's easy to say, oh, just let go of the fear. But the reason that you have all these strategies, the reason you have the story that you have that you cling to as your only story and can't find any other story, is because the fear is hard to face. It's hard to deal with. It's hard for most of us even to admit that we have it.
Yeah, I know.
That it is at our core, you see. So if you can't even admit that you have it, how can you let it go? Most of us use our story, our egos, and our beliefs to deny that we really have the fear. I mean, that's the whole point of it, making the fear disappear. Well, the fear only disappears from our conscious mind when we're acting out there in front of people. But inside, that fear lives. And the bad news is that the older you get, the more that fear festers and the harder it is to cover it up. So when you're a teenager and in your early 20s and maybe early 30s, oh, you got that fear pushed down there real snug under the rug and nobody can see it and you don't even notice it yourself because you're living your story. Mm-hmm. And then when you get into your 40s and your 50s, it's a harder story to maintain. That stuff just seems to, that rug just gets so full of that, that stuff that you've pushed under there that it starts to show and it starts to come out around the edges and it's hard to contain anymore. So by the time we get into our midlife crisis in the 30s and 40s, that's because those fears are harder and harder to ignore.
Right.
And that's the problem. So we get, we get more and more distressed over the fear, and then we have another fear to add to the fear. Now we're afraid of having the fears. You know, we're afraid that we're depressed. You see, that's another thing. So now we can fear that, oh, there's something else wrong with. We're not only unlovable, but we're depressed all the time. You see, now that just adds another layer of fear on top of the other fears. And that's the way fear is. Fear creates more fear.
Right.
And the longer you let it go, the more fear it creates. And pretty soon you're buried under a mountain of fear, all created from the same basic insecurity, inadequacy, unlovable, not really doing it right, not as good as other people, or not as good as you should be, this sort of thing. And It's tough then. You see, you've got to unravel all of that stuff before you get down to being authentic and accepting yourself for just who you are and not trying to be anything other than what you are. And once you own it, now you can change it. The problem is you can't change it till you own it. Right. And as long as you're denying it, you can't own it. So you're stuck. That's why people get stuck and don't see any choices. They get stuck in their story and can't get out of it, even though intellectually they can see the path out. Oh, intellectually, it's easy. All I do is get rid of my fears and my ego and my beliefs will go away and I'll be a happy person the rest of my life. Got it. Okay. But when it gets down to doing it, now to do it, you actually have to face that fear eyeball to eyeball, accept it, own it, live with it, and then because you own it, you can start to change it. Now, the good news is that if you have an intent to change it, if you have an intent to get rid of it, and you keep that intent focused and in your mind all the time, and that means that when you find yourself reacting based on that fear, you catch yourself and just don't go there. You have an intent not to react because of that fear. If you do that, you will get rid of it because intention modifies future probability. So if you have an intent to get rid of it, and that intent is at the being level, not just that you wish to get rid of it, you know, wishing is a weak intention. The intention has to come from the being level. But if you have that intent, you will get rid of it. So that's basically the secret, is to have an intention at the being level. You really do want to get rid of the fear. You really do want to change and grow up and find another story that's, you know, that's a happier story, a more fun story, a story that's full of satisfaction and joy and caring. If that's the story you'd like, then you just have to have that intent to get there and to get authentic and keep working on it and keep working on it, and you will make progress and you'll get there. The way people fail is that they screw up their courage and they get when they're ready to go, and then they find that it's just the same old thing, and then they give up and they throw their hands in the air and they say, I can't do it. You see, that is the problem. You have to really want to do it enough that you just keep working at it and keep working at it. And if you do, you will have success. Don't get discouraged on the second week or even the second month. You have to work on it. And it's a life. It's a life endeavor. You know, it's not something you say, oh, well, in 2 weeks, I'll be done with this. It's not going to be like that. Maybe in 2 years, you'll be done with it. You know, maybe in 5 years, you'll be done with it. But if you don't start working on it, if you don't start the process, you'll never be done with it. Right. And you'll be one of those, you know, old, 80-year-old folks that have that real sour look on their face because their life has been full of struggle and pain. And they just show that. They're not happy, because the older you get, as I say, the harder it is to cover up. And eventually, you're forced to be authentic. By the time you reach your 80s and 90s, you're authentic. You may be crabby. You may not be a lot of fun to be around. You may complain a lot. You know, you may fuss and you may blame things on people, but you're authentic. You get there anyway. Better to get there early, see what it is you don't like and change it, rather than just let that rug fill up with all that stuff until it just all bubbles out sooner or later. And you're going to be it anyhow. Might as well be it at a point where you have the energy and the ambition to get rid of it. Because by the time you get to be an old person, you just accept it. And it just is, because you can't even imagine being any other way. So that's kind of the story, you know, kind of all wrapped up in a short.
Imagine Tom coming to a short answer.
Yeah, right. Well, that was only a 20-minute answer. Yeah, wow, I'm doing good. That was short.
Okay, so From what you said, there is a few things that I will play with the concept a little bit.
I just poured it on there, right?
That was,
now everybody's going to have to decompress for the next, you know, the next 20 minutes to get over that. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So you mentioned a few things, like if you're not doing it from a being level. So, okay. So someone wants to get rid of the fear, or also when I think of letting go, I think of letting go of people in someone's life that they know aren't good for them, but they hold on to this concept, or they hold on to this romantic vision that of what coulda, shoulda, woulda been, you know, that everybody does. It really could have been good, or we had this one great time, and if everything could have been like that, this would be a perfect relationship. So therefore, I am not going to let it go because of the coulda, woulda, shouldas. So letting go, it's still a fear. It's still their fear of either not being loved again, or, you know, not lovable. So therefore, they have to accept something that's not good enough. Oh, I mean, it's still...
It could just be a fear of change.
Oh,
we are terrified of change. We're terrified of uncertainty. We're terrified of the unknown. And when a relationship falls apart, a lot of that fear is just the fear of the unknown. What's going to happen to me? You know, everything's going to be different. Okay, there were good parts and bad parts, and now it's all going to go away. The bad parts will go away, yay, but all the good parts are going to go away too. You know, not so yay. And now I'm going to be back in that game again. You know, maybe I'll have to be back in the dating game. And oh man, I don't want to do that. You know, what a, you know, how, you know, that's a drag. And see, and we have all of this fear about change and what that's going to cause us to do, what we're going to lose. And then pretty soon we start getting, full of self-pity. Oh, woe is me. You see, life is hard. Life isn't any fun. Woe is me. And then pretty soon we're a victim. And then after you're a victim, you're basically done for. Because when you're a victim in your own mind, you have no power.
Right.
You have no ability to stand up and change anything because you're just a victim. Everything that you are, all of your misery is somebody else's fault, and you're a victim. You see, that renders you completely powerless to do anything, to change anything. So then you're really stuck if you let yourself get into a victim space. But the thing is about relationships is that almost always when relationships come apart, that change turns out to be a very good change. Living in a dysfunctional relationship is not a good space to be in. The change that happens there, you'll look back on it 2 years later and say things like, wow, I'm glad that happened. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. At the time, you were deep depression because your whole life was coming apart. You know, it was all, everything was blowing up under your feet and coming apart, and it was awful, and everything was black and awful. And years later, you'll look back and say, wow, that breathed a new breath of fresh air into my life. Suddenly, I was moved into new situations. It was a new story. It was new people, new friends, new connections, a new place to live. Everything was new. And wow, everything worked out really great. Now I have a good relationship that is functional. You see, that's typically the way that works out. If you can grow up from the experience. If you don't grow up from the experience, then you'll probably just repeat it. But when you have that experience, instead of being a victim, look at not what other people did, not what that significant other person did that hurt you and that was wrong. Look at what you could have done better. Look at your part in it, that you were there because you had needs, not necessarily because you were giving love. You were there and you had these issues that gave you buttons, and these buttons got pushed by that person, and that made you very angry, and then your anger made them angry, and their anger made you angry, and the whole thing just fell apart. But a lot of the problem was those buttons that you had. And no, that other person didn't give you those buttons. Those are your buttons that you're very sensitive about. Those are your issues, not theirs. And you brought that you see, to the situation. So then you work on that for a while. You learn something. You grow up. And then the next time you get back in the game, which you will get back in the game, that's just our nature. Our instincts lead us back into the game. You'll be better. You'll be a better person. You all have learned a lot. And it just makes the next relationship have a lot higher probability of being a whole lot better. And, you know, and some people, particularly ladies, are just very poor choosers of significant others. They seem to have a perfect sense for going out there and grabbing just the wrong guy, right? Just the one that'll push every one of their buttons and drive them insane in about a year or two. And they are very good at finding the wrong guy and not very good at finding the right guy. Well, they need to think about that. Why is that? What is it that attracts them to that kind of a person? What's the fear? What's the ego? What's the belief that pushes them in that direction? Deal with it. Learn. Grow up. And then when you get back in the game, you see you're a better player. So this whole thing has to be looked at as a growing opportunity. Change is a growing opportunity. Instead of change is scary, change is uncertainty, and change is frightening, it has to be change is opportunity. I get a chance to grow up, and then I get a chance to try again. And I'll be better, I'll be smarter, you know, I'll be more love, I'll be less fear, and I get to play it again. And if that doesn't work out, well, then I'll still be better after that. And then I get to do it again. You have to see that change is good. We need to have change. When you have a dysfunctional relationship, usually the best thing that can happen if the dysfunction has been going on for a long time and it doesn't look like it's headed toward any sort of happy resolution, then it's better to learn your lessons and start over than it is to just throw good after bad. Right. You know, change is a good thing. Change forces us to grow up because now we have to make new choices. And if we make them with eyes open, more open than they were last time we made those choices, then we have a higher probability of a really good relationship. So relationships, you know, they're mostly based on need anyway. Very few people ever fall in love, although everybody says that. Most people fall in need. They find somebody that meets their needs. Well, their needs are generated by their fear. Their fear creates needs. So they find somebody that meets their needs, that makes that fear feel just fine, you see. But people's needs change. You know, your needs, his needs, you know, his needs, your needs, they all change as people grow and people change. And as that stuff under the rug starts to seep out around the edges, you know, the needs change. And as they do, then, you know, those two people don't necessarily meet each other's needs anymore because the needs have changed and the people have changed. Everything changes. Don't find change or changing your story or looking for other options or seeing that there's other choices to be made. Don't let that be scary. Just go do it. But keep your eyes open and your mind alert for your own problems and how you can fix them. Keep your intent focused on fixing them, and eventually they'll go away. So that's called life. That's called learning through experience. And that's what we do here. We learn through experience. And don't get sad because, you know, the first try or the second try or the fifth try isn't working out. Go on for the sixth try and try to be better, and then you'll do better. You see? So it's a matter of being better. And the only failure mode is if you don't learn. As if you blame everything on everybody else, refuse to learn anything and grow up, and then you just repeat and repeat and repeat the same old story, and it never seems to work out, and then you give up, and then you become a victim, and then you're trapped, you see? Right. So that's not a good place to be. If you feel a victim, then you need to kind of wake up, shake that off, take responsibility for your life, and start making changes. And then see what happens. Find your authentic person. Be it. And then let chips fall where they may. Let everybody react to you just the way you are. And then if you realize that what you are is really not very nice, well, then change it. You can change it now because you own it. You can't change it if you don't own it.
And that's where a lot of people, I mean, they get that they have fears. They don't really understand what they are fully. When someone says, well, you know, your fear is around feeling unlovable, they're going to go, what does that even mean? Of course I'm, but of course, if they were really honest or if they really looked at certain areas of their life, that would be how they would see it. Or if they asked, you know, some of their closest friends, you know, these kind of things. I mean, it's hard to, because sometimes, what do they say? It's in your subconscious or it's in your unconscious. And so it's a great excuse to not dig deeper. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it's relationships, working on our fears, growing up, it's all kind of,
exciting.
It's exciting.
It's all kind of exciting. It's all kind of fun because look, we get to grow up and make choices. And if it doesn't work out, we learn from our mistakes and go on again. It's all sort of exciting and fun. All you have to do is get in that game, keep your eyes open, and try to grow up. Stay focused on what you're doing, which is increasing the quality of your consciousness, becoming love. And what you can give, not what you can get, you know, work with relationships on giving, not on getting. And you just keep working on it. So instead of it being so difficult, it needs to be so exciting and interesting. It's just a change of attitude will make a lot of difference. Just that attitude, you see, instead of the attitude that's, woe is me, this is hard, and I can't quite get my arms around it, to an attitude of, okay, it's hard. I'm going to go work on it and start it anyway, because if you've got a hard thing and you avoid it, it's not going to get any easier. You might as well dig into it. Now, that takes courage, you see. You have to really want to do this, and you have to have the courage to do. You have to have the courage to be who you are. And figure out who you are. Find those fears. And you know, these fears are typically some ridiculous little detail that happened when you were 4 years old that is now pushing, you know, your buttons and making your choices. When you were 4 years old, your mother came home and gave your, you know, your baby sister a new toy and didn't give you one. And from then on, you felt unloved and inadequate. And you weren't good enough. And now you're 50 years old and you still feel that way. You see, that's the truth of it. Most of these things come from some trivial thing that occurred to us when we were much younger and had a very small perspective. And mom didn't not love us as much as the other child. You know, mom just saw something the other child might like and got it for him and just wasn't thinking about anything else and had no idea that that 4-year-old or 5-year-old would have a life-changing moment from such a trivial thing. We never think about those, how these trivial things that as we look at them logically from an adult perspective, oh, they're nothing. But when looked at through the eyes of a 4-year-old, it's the whole world. And we miss those things. So we as parents end up doing things like that that affect our children the rest of their life. And there's no way to prevent it because we don't have the viewpoint of a 4-year-old. We don't see what they see. We don't feel it the way they feel it. So those mistakes are going to be made. Okay, well, that's life. Suck it up and deal with it. See, that's the prescription. Yeah, that's the tough love, right? Okay, those things happen. You didn't get a toy when you were 4 and your little brother or sister did. And that's what's causing you to be miserable in your relationship. Mm-hmm. And your last 3 relationships have all been miserable because of that, because you felt inadequate. And then that inadequate gets covered up by being a little, having a chip on your shoulder, being a little pushy, kind of being demanding, having buttons that just trigger that fear because somebody says something that makes you sound like you weren't good enough. Your husband comes in and he looks in the refrigerator and he says, oh, there's no bologna in here. And all he's doing is stating a fact in case somebody around who might go to a grocery store could hear it. He's not blaming you for anything, but because you feel inadequate, you feel, oh, he's telling me that I have failed. I didn't purchase the right things. I didn't stock the stuff up. And now here he comes home from a hard day's work and he's hungry and there's no bologna in the refrigerator. I failed again. But rather than feeling failed, what you do is you get angry. You see, right. We react to that. So then we shout, well, if you like bologna, buy your own damn bologna. I'm busy. I can't do this for you all the time. You know, all you do is sit here, and it goes on and on and on. And now we have a fight. So the poor guy wonders what in the heck's going on. All he did was make a statement, a fact that there wasn't any bologna in the refrigerator. And his wife gets mad, you see. That's because when she was 4 years old, she didn't get a toy. How ridiculous is that, you see? So we need to face these things, and we don't remember that we didn't get the toy. That's gone from our memory. All we know is that we have this feeling of inadequacy and not being good enough, and that makes most of our choices are based on that. You see? So that's kind of the roots of it, and it's sort of the shame of it, some trivial thing. So it's not really a big, dark, monster fear that we have to wrestle to the ground. It's usually some trivial little puff of smoke that meant nothing at all, except it did to us in that context and in that moment. And if we just have the courage to be authentic, own it, and deal with it, that fear will just go poof like the smoke it is and disappear. It's just not that big a deal. It takes the courage, though, to go there and expose it and deal with it. You're not going to have to wrestle some deep inadequacy in your being that, you know, you were just born inadequate and you're going to have to deal with it. Oh, woe is you. You're going to find that you have plenty of adequacy. It's just a feeling you have that's tagged to something that you can't even remember. And you just need the courage to deal with it and get over it.
You mean it's not karma?
What?
You mean it's not karma?
No, it's not karma. For the most part, that's not it.
Yeah. But see, all sorts of excuses to make it more difficult, right? That make us
right.
a victim. Karma makes us a victim.
Right.
A perfect victim.
Yeah, exactly. What can I do? You know, it's just the way it is. Oh, I was just born too short. You know, I've never been able to, matter much. People don't take short people, very seriously or whatever it
hey,
is.
Hey, that's not true at all.
We make all kinds of stuff up. And we believe that that's the problem because we want to pin that problem right. on anything but ourselves. So we make all this stuff up so that we're not to blame. You see, well, that's just ego, fear, and belief. We create beliefs so that we don't feel like we're the one that's the problem. Something right. else is a problem.
Right.
And that's a dead end. That's the victim
yeah.
position. And, victims are just have nowhere to go. They're down and they're out until they get rid of that victimhood, until they take responsibility for their life and start making choices, instead of, that are not based on their self-pity. Victims are just wallowing around in their self-pity. Woe is me. I'm a victim. I can't do anything. Well, it doesn't mean that there are no victims. Some people, somebody hits you in the head, steals your money. You're a victim. All right. So pick yourself up and go on with your life. Don't go crawl in a hole and stay there for the rest of your life because you're afraid to come out. See, that's the difference. Yes, things will happen to you. People will take advantage of you. People may do things that hurt you. Well, deal with it. Go on. Deal with it in a positive way. Don't curl up in a puddle of self-pity and become a victim. That's the dead end. The worst of all possible states to be in is that self-pity victimhood.
Right. Because you have no choices, or at least you feel right. you have no choice.
Right. And You see, you have to believe that you have no choices to maintain your victimhood.
Sure.
You need your victimhood in order to blame somebody else for the fact that you're miserable. So you see, that's the trap.
Right. Right. Yeah. So how do we know whether we're coming from a being level? I mean, a lot of people can figure intellectually things out, and we try to fix things from an intellectual perspective all the time, but they rarely take.
No, they rarely take because the intellect isn't the problem. We're not miserable and struggling because we don't have all the right information. That's not the key. We're miserable and struggling because we have fear. Getting information doesn't get rid of a fear. It's our fear and ego and beliefs that make us miserable, not our lack of information. And we want to solve all the problems intellectually because that seems to be easy. But what we have to do is change who we are. Take responsibility for who we are, not blame others for our problems, and then change who we are so we have a positive attitude. So we aren't afraid of change. So we take responsibility for our choices. And we understand that getting angry or getting upset is a choice.
Right. Right.
So this is all tough love. I'm on a tough love kick here. So, suck it up and, you know, get positive and go on. And that's basically what, you know, a counselor tries to tell people. But you have to tell them in a way that doesn't make them run out, you know, of your office angry. Because they're not going to do it. If that's how they react to it. So mm-hmm. You work with them and hold them by the hand and try to lead them very carefully through this maze of feelings and things to get them to do just that, you know, to take charge, you know, see it for what it is and go on. It's a simple, again, another simple thing to say, you know, just suck it up and move on. Well, that's easy to say, but again, hard to do. Because it's hard for us to face those fears. It's hard for us to be authentic. And it takes courage. But once you have the courage, the fear and the problem is a little bit of nothing. It's usually so trivial that it just disappears. As long as you stay focused on it long enough, it's not a big thing. It's not the way you were born, you know. Right. It's just what you believe. It's a belief of yours. You believe that you are inadequate, not good enough. It's a, you talk about dysfunctional families. How many people do you know that when you talk about things in your past and in your history, what they say is, wow, my family was really totally functional. Nobody ever had a problem. We all loved each other. It was all very, we all supported each other. It was terrific. My memory of growing up is that it was wonderful, happy, and peaceful. And, you know, we were just all great together. It was great. How many times have you heard that story? You know, probably never. Or so every once in a while you might hear that story. Now, that's my story. My family was like that. Everything was great. It was good. But
I think there are some people that say that, though, that are in complete denial.
Yeah, could be.
Not in your case, but in some cases, that when I hear that, that pulls up a lot of red flags for me. It's
right.
Like, really?
If they overstate the case, right?
Especially if they're having problems in every other area in their life. And it's like, and your family was perfect? Really? You sure? Okay.
Or maybe the family was so perfect, that's why you feel so inadequate.
Because
your family was so perfect. And you felt that you could never measure up. You know, maybe that was it.
Maybe.
But in any case, most people realize they come from families that have issues and problems and struggled. And a lot of that just gets passed on. You know, parents pass that on to their children.
Yeah.
It's just the way it works. But that's not a, oh, whoa, you know, look what I picked up from my family and friends. It's okay, so deal with it. Get over it and go on.
I think one of the problems with relationships, which triggers all of our fears. But I think one of the problems is we didn't have very good examples. And I'm not even sure we still know what honest and real communication is and, you know, how not to blame. Like, all of our examples in our childhood and in most of our lives are around, you know, troubled relationships. That's what we see. So we don't know. We don't know how to be different. We don't know how to be authentic. And so some people take, especially in some of my generation, there's a lot of women that have never been married and never been in like really serious relationships, but they do a lot of spiritual work. And I think it's almost like they get into a rut of, you know, knowing that they need to work on themselves, not realizing that if they got into a relationship, it would help them even amplify all of the changes they want to make. Because once you're in a relationship, it's kind of in your face, the things right. that need to be fixed. So yeah. then they go, instead of having it in relationship, well, then it's, you know, the dynamics at work, or it's the dynamics in the family, or like it's really interesting. Like we just have no, you know, real wonderful examples of what a honest, authentic relationship looks like.
For the most part, that's true, because people fall in need, as I say.
Right.
It's about them. They don't fall in love. If they did, it was about other.
Right.
Their love is not unconditional. The conditions are, you know, you need to meet my needs.
Right.
If you expect me to meet your needs, well, those are conditions. And there is no such thing as conditional love.
Right.
If it's love, it's unconditional. If it's conditioned, it's not love. It's a business arrangement. It's a deal. I'll do this if you do that. You know, it's that kind of a thing. Well, deals come and go. Deals, typically, if you're actually making a deal with someone, they have dates where the deal expires. You know, they don't expect to last forever, because deals don't last forever. Situations and people change.
Right.
So they got into a relationship based on their self-centeredness, their needs, and they have children, and they relate to their children through their needs. They need their children to grow up and be, you know, represent them as good parents. So the children's successful, you know, becomes a doctor, a lawyer, and an Indian chief. And, you know, mom and dad are happy, and they're proud, and so on. And they don't want their child to be the drug addict that, you know, lives, you know, under the bridge, because that's embarrassing. So again, it's all about their needs and the things that they want. They want their child to do well in school because that reflects well on them.
Right.
That's what their child needs to do to be on that path to success, which makes them look like a good parent. So we are, you know, and then the children pick that same thing up. Mm-hmm. And the children relate to each other about their needs, and they struggle with each other, and they struggle with their parents because the parents don't give them the things they need, and the parents think the children don't give them what they need. So you can see all these people struggling about getting their needs met, what they need. And that has nothing to do with love.
Right.
So there's a lot of people who have no idea what love really is and what it means. It's about others. It's not about you. It's not about your needs. It's not about a deal or a business arrangement. It is something you give, and you give it unconditionally. And the average person would be terrified to give themselves unconditionally to somebody else. That'd be really scary because, hey, I wouldn't have any control. Well, we need control to make sure that we're safe.
Right.
You know, make sure that we get what we deserve and what we need. So we have to have some control. And this idea of just loving, giving that love to someone unconditionally, is just too scary to even think about. Well, that's the way it is when you're full of fear. When you are full of fear and ego and beliefs, it's too frightening to just love unconditionally, to just give unconditionally. No, that other person doesn't have to give you anything back. No conditions on what they're going to return. No conditions on getting your needs met. You just give, and you just love, and you just care, and that's that. You see, that's love.
Right.
And that is a rare thing in relationships in our culture, a very rare thing. So that's the goal we're working toward. And people shouldn't feel bad. Oh, wow, I'm way off base here. You know, okay. Love isn't anything I've experienced because I've never been willing to give anything away unconditionally. That seems like a foolish idea. I need some control in the situation to make sure that I get what I need. So it's a state of being that is virtually, you know, unknown because it's scary.
Right.
But that's where we're going. That's the goal. That's what we move to. And in a relationship, it only takes one. It only takes one to love,
right.
You see? No matter what that other person does, it only takes one to love. So these are scary thoughts, though, for most. It would be difficult to do that. What you find, though, in reality, that if you give like that, if you give yourself to somebody, in other words, you make their happiness more important to you than anything else. Your happiness is generated by their happiness. When they're happy, you're happy. That's what makes you happy, is when they're happy. You see, it's all about them. It's not about you. When you do that, unless that person is really a nut job, unless they're really psychotic, unless they're a sociopath, that person will start to grow toward love as well, because they will be in this environment. And that environment will be completely safe. They don't have to do anything in particular, and they get this love. Well, what's natural for them to do? Return that, to make sure they're worthy of that, to make sure they, are in such a way that keeps that coming. So they start to grow toward love. And even though it started just with one, it'll end up, after a while, with two, you see, giving each other unconditional love. Because you give, by loving someone, you give them the security that allows them to not need control. If you don't need control, then it's not about manipulation to get what you want. It's about letting it be however it is, accepting it how it is. There's no control. Well, what's not to like about that, right? That's good. So one person loving unconditionally, or just loving, like that's the only kind of love there is unconditional, will help that other person grow to become that way. Now, it may take years if you're trying to turn old behavior around. You know, it may be a few years. Well, that's okay. Let it be a few years. You know, and if it doesn't work, if that person is a sociopath and there's nothing in there but evil, well, once you find that out, then move on. Don't stay there. You know, say, well, I learned a lot. And by giving to that all that time, I've grown up immensely. My quality of consciousness is much better than it was. It's time to move on. You see, there's no loss.
Right.
Even in a bad situation, there's only gain. There's never any loss.
That's a key, though, right? I think a lot of people, I wasted all that time. And it's like, really? But look at what you learned. Look how you grew. Yeah. Like, that's right. The key. Stop seeing it as, that you're the victim again. Because here you did. You put all that time in and they turned out to be a sociopath.
you feel a victim because of what you wanted and didn't get.
You see,
it was about you. You had needs. I had these needs. I had all the stuff I wanted and I didn't get it.
Right.
Oh, I wasted all that time and never got what I wanted.
Right.
See, it's still all self-centered,
right.
Self-focused. It's not about, it shouldn't be about, didn't get what you wanted. You shouldn't have had those wants in the first place. If it was love, it was about giving.
Right.
Because if you go in a relationship and it's all about your needs, well, that other person, then it's about their needs, because that's the kind of deal. When the other person's just in it for their needs to be met, then that tends to create a situation where the partner is in it just for their needs, because they know that that's really what it's all about, that it's an exchange of needs here. And that means that that situation has almost no potential to grow up into a loving situation. Its potential is like the best it can do usually is that you don't dislike each other, that you just kind of live together, being nice to each other just to get along. And that's like as good as it can get, you see, which is not much at all compared to a relationship that really has two people that are both in love, really in love, that just care about the other person. That's much, much better. So there is no loss in it. There's always loss if it's about your needs. You're creating a suboptimal condition in your relationship that just no longer has the potential to grow, because now you encourage the same behavior in another. Whereas if you go into the relationship with love, you're also encouraging the same behavior of other. And now the potential is that the relationship can grow. So that's really why we have such high divorce rates and high dissatisfaction with relationships. And, husbands and wives don't get along very well. And, the gender wars and all the rest of that is based on people being up to their eyebrows in their fear, in their self-centeredness, in their ego. And it's all about them and their needs. And if that's the way you go through life, life will be a perpetual, never-ending struggle. You will never find happiness except in short moments that don't last a long time. And that's mostly intellectual and not even at the being level. Right. So love is given from the being level. You can't give yourself to somebody intellectually. See, that doesn't mean anything. That's an act. Now you're acting like you love that person. Well, acts after a while grow thin and they wear out and the real you pops up and it doesn't work. You can't act your way through it. You got to be it. So that brings us back to, growing up and being. And every relationship is a great teacher. Relationships are teachers. When people talk to me and anybody asks me, well, who was your biggest teacher? Who was the teacher that, taught you the most about becoming love or getting rid of ego or fear? And I will tell them, my wife. That's my hardest teacher, because it's in those significant relationships that we, that's where the rubber meets the road as far as ego and fear goes.
Right?
It's,
yeah, you can't avoid it.
Right up in your face, and you're going to deal with it every day, every moment. Yeah. And if you have ego, your ego will trigger ego in them. Your needs will trigger needs in them. You see, it's just like that. So your love will trigger love in them. So it's what do you, you get back what you send out. You get back a reflection of who you are. You create your own reality. See, we've said that a lot of times. Your intentions create your reality. And if your intentions is all about you and your needs, that'll create a reality where everybody, it's all about them and their needs. You see, so it's a... Yes, it's hard to do. It's hard to face those fears, but it's necessary if you're going to grow up. So it takes courage. And maybe the knowledge that the fear is something really stupid because you didn't get a teddy bear when your sibling did, that's ruining your whole life, right? That's, you've had three failed marriages because you didn't get a teddy bear when you were 4 years old. How dumb is that? But that's the way it is for a lot of people. Things they don't even remember, but it gave them this feeling inside of not being adequate. And now they have this chip on their shoulder, and whenever anything happens that they can interpret as somebody thinks they're inadequate, they roar back with anger and with accusation and, with blame, and that's the way they interact. Well, what that does to that other person that's getting that accusation and blame, it makes them roar back with indignation and upset. And how can you do this to me? And I'm innocent. What are you talking about? And now you end up with an argument, and the argument ends up making everybody miserable. You see, there's no escape if that is the way you are. So it's a really simple idea. Now you either grow up or stay miserable. That's your choice. And there isn't any other choice. That's the game we're in. So it's hard. Okay, it's hard. Suck it up. Get your courage up. Find out who you are and go be authentic and live it. And if that means you change your relationships, change your job, change your friends. Well, change is a new opportunity to do things better. But if you don't grow up, that change will just reassert itself because you will create the same reality you created the last time. You see, so just change for change's sake isn't going to help you. You got to grow up from change, and then the next will be better. That's these are kind of the hard facts of life, ladies and gentlemen. You know, this is just the way it is. And until you grasp these ideas, you will probably be unhappy and struggling and have a life that's spotted with pain and a little bit of joy and a lot of struggle, a lot of manipulation, trying to get what you need, trying to get everybody to be the way you want them and so on. And of course you can't do that. So now you're frustrated and so on it goes.
Yes. Growing up.
Growing up. Hard to do, right?
It's what we want, right?
Yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to get there, but we don't
necessarily want to do the work
to get there.
Yes. And then we think, you know, once we're there, it will change everything because, you know, there'll be nothing left to do. It's like, oh, please. No. Good luck with that.
Every time you grow up, you have a whole new set of situations that require you to still grow up more. Yeah. That's the thing. That's the joy of it. That's good about it because it's just this whole series of you learning from mistakes and from being aware and becoming better. And everything just gets better. But you're never going to run out of a challenge. It's not like you'll get to a space and, you know, well, all I'm going to do from now on is sit on a cloud and play a harp, right? I've gone to heaven and that's all I'm going to do is sit on a cloud and play a harp. Well, you will find very quickly that if you just do that in a vacuum all by your little self, that's going to be real boring and not much fun very quickly. What's fun is growing up. You see, now many people see growing up as being a terrible, awful thing that they're going to have to face fears and do hard stuff. But eventually growing up becomes a fun thing. It's like a puzzle. Well, what can I learn from this? Okay, I feel that pain. I said this and then she said that and that hurts. How am I going to grow up from that? All that pain is yours to deal with and yours to grow up from, you see? That's why relationships are so good about helping us grow up. You feel that pain, find a lesson in it. When you find a lesson in it, get rid of the fear that caused it, and now you're better. You see? So it's a happy thing. It's a good thing. It's a challenging thing. And it's interesting. It's excited. It's even fun, this growing up thing.
And this is why I love doing shows with Tom. Because we are here to help you grow up, and hopefully we can help you grow up with fun.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's not so much fun in the beginning, but once you get going on the path, it turns out to be a fun thing to do and very rewarding. And your life isn't full of struggle, and it isn't full of pain. But you still get things that, you know, will hurt here and there, things that will challenge you, things that you're not quite sure what's the best way to deal with them. And you'll deal with some of them wrong and it will bite you and you'll learn. But instead of getting upset and blaming, you'll see yourself that you did it wrong. You could have been better. You led there with your ego or with a need. You were demanding and you need to fix that. You see, and now your life gets better because you fixed it. And if you don't fix it, your life stays the same.
You've been listening to News for the Heart with Lori Houston and Tom Campbell.
you can name this the tough love session. Right?
All right. We've been getting to the heart of what matters with tough love with Tom Campbell.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.